You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue with our identity statement this morning. Please join me with this together. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you. And that last little part is leading us in the direction of our conversation this morning. I wanted to ask the question, what happens in your life when someone that you know is following Jesus ends up going in a different direction than what you're going? You're seeking to follow Jesus, and you're walking the walk, you're talking the talk, and you've got a brother or a sister who is going in a different direction. Have you ever had that moment of, ooh, I wonder if I'm wrong? Or maybe your first thought was, I think they're wrong. You ever been there? Am I the only one? There's those moments when I know that God is calling me and directing me in a particular direction, and the people in my life who have helped me trust God's love or know God's love in the past, they're going in a new direction. They're going in a new place. Or maybe God's calling me to go in a new place. And that's a part of what it means to grow as a child of God. Each of us have those moments where, whether it was as children, as a young person in school, maybe in college, where you're following your career path and your friends, the people that you spent time with, they're following their career path. So in the natural world, it's easy for us to say, yeah, I understand what it means for me to be going one direction, and then someone else who's been on the same path, we've gone to school together, we sat in the same classes together, and now they're going in a totally different direction. But spiritually, sometimes that can be a little bit scary, because what happens on the inside is so precious to us that when our friends, when our family, when part of the family of God is continuing to grow in a new direction, it can be a little bit unsettling. Because sometimes I'm not as confident on the inside as I put forth on the outside about my following Jesus. Sometimes it's easier to follow with other people and kind of the herd mentality and just go with the flow, keep moving with everybody else. But then there's those moments when I'm not going in a better direction, but it's a new direction for me. I'm not going in a direction that says, I have it all figured out, I have the high ground here in this moment, but for me, it's that simple act of obedience, of just stepping in the direction that God has called me to. And sometimes that means stepping away from those that I've always been with. And I have to look and I have to see, well, maybe there's other people around me that I can connect to. Another group of people that are going in the same direction that I'm going in, that I can be a part of their lives. Those times in our lives when we're following Jesus and we find that we're with a different group of people can be a little bit unsettling, depending on how you're engineered, your temperament, your comfort level with blazing a new trail, going in a new direction. But as I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Not the group that I'm with. And so for us sitting here this morning, that places a little bit of responsibility on each of our shoulders, doesn't it? Because if you follow me off the edge of the cliff that Jesus has called me to walk off, I hope he's called you to walk off that same cliff. Does that make sense? Yeah, each of us have that spiritual responsibility to be listening and to be receiving from Jesus in our lives. And there's good times when we're growing, and then there's times where we need to step back and say, am I listening to what is going on around me in everybody else's life more so than hearing Jesus's voice for me. I want to take a look this morning at the book of Amos. We're continuing to go through a study of what does it mean to speak truth to power? What does it mean to speak truth to power? Amos chapter 7, we're just going to look at the first three verses here this morning together. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, he was forming locusts when the latter growth was just beginning to sprout. And behold, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. When they had finished eating the grass of the land, I said, O Lord God, please forgive. How can Jacob stand? He is so small. The Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just open up our hearts and our minds. We just receive your calm and your peace and your rest here in this moment. Pray that you would shake us up where we need to be shaken up, that you would light a fire where we need to have the fire lit, that you would speak peace be still in those places, in our innermost being where we need to receive that still small voice. We thank you for being with us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Amos, we've looked at this outline in the past, this theme of judgment for social injustice. There were a lot of things that were taking place within the culture, within their time. The first two chapters are the judgments that Amos speaks forth against the children of Israel and also the surrounding nations. And then chapters 3 through 6, we have three sermons. We've looked at those sermons. There's some powerful words in those sermons when it comes to how we interact with our fellow humans, as we love the way Jesus loved, as we say yes to living out all of the one another passages of Scripture, all those moments where we're called to reach out and to embrace and to accept those that are around us. And then we're entering right now five visions, chapter 7 through first part of chapter 9. Several times it says, this is what the Lord, this is what the sovereign Lord showed me. Have you ever seen something that God wanted you to see? Have you ever seen something that God wanted you to see? A vision is something that when God is wanting to communicate to a person, to a family, to a community, that God will give a vision. And here in the context of the book of Amos, it is a vision of correction. It is a vision of judgment. It is a vision of this is something that is painful that is going to take place in your life. Amos has given these eight judgments and these three sermons. And then we get to this third section of the book of Amos, and he sees things that you don't necessarily want to see. Any of you have vivid dreams? Any of you dreamers? I'm not a vivid dreamer. My wife, Theodosia, she'll wake up in the morning and she'll be like, guess what I dreamed? And it's like detail, detail, detail. The only time I ever remember my dreams is if one of the kids wake me up in the middle of the night, then I remember my dreams. There's that place that we go to in our sleep where something is taking place in our subconscious. Whether we're processing what has happened during that day, or we are free to see what might happen in the future. Just by a show of hands this morning, what does the majority of your dreams move you towards? Does it move you towards excitement, or does it move you towards fear? What direction do your dreams move you? How many of you have good dreams, positive dreams? You're moving in a good direction in your dreams. Couple, what about the nightmare, Halloween, kind of horror, film kind of dreams. And then there's those of you that are kind of in my category of I can't remember. So it's kind of like, the next time you have a dream, I want you to stop and take note of that dream. Because science likes to say that our dreams are us processing what's happened the day before or looking forward to what's going to happen the next day. And I think there's definitely some weight for us to stop and to listen. Well, what am I thinking? What's going on in the subconscious below the level? But I also want us to be aware and realize that God speaks to us in times in our life when we are open to receiving. And because of the busyness, because of the crazy of our lives and our world, sometimes it's not until we're sleeping and resting. But I also want to give us an opportunity to step back and to ask the question, am I more fearful because of the nightmares that I'm having than I really realize? Are there things in my life that have happened that I am still wrestling through and processing in my life? Nightmares, happy dreams, positive directions. Here Amos has a vision. He has several visions here throughout this scripture. Here's an artist picturing what all of those different visions from locusts to fire to animals, just their whole social world upside down and destruction taking place. Verses 1 through 3, he sees something. I want to ask what he sees here in this moment. Obviously, it's a farming culture. It's an agricultural society. As something was about to happen, and the normal natural rhythm of life, it's time for the last gathering of the crops. It's the end of the season. There would be a lot of joy, a great deal of excitement over this is what has come into our lives. We are prepared and ready for the winter. We don't always think about the fact that we can our foods today, or we can go to Walmart at 2 a.m. and get what we need. But back 2,000 plus years ago, they didn't have Walmarts. And so the idea of here is the final crop for this end of our season, and what does the prophet see is coming in his direction? He sees for his community, for his nation, that there were locusts that were being formed. What do locusts do? They destroy everything. They don't just eat the fruit, but what do they eat? They eat the leaves and they eat the stalks. Nothing left, barren. He sees this in his vision. What I love about this vision, this picture that Amos gives us, is in his heart, he responds. In his mind, as he's seeing this vision, as he is in a place of receiving this picture from God, he can't sit still. What does he do? Does he roll over and go back to sleep? Does he go on to the next chore that he has to do that day in the middle of the vision? Doesn't tell us where this vision came to him from, where he was. What does he do? When he saw this destruction take place in the lives of those that he loves, he responds, "Oh Lord God, please what? Forgive. Forgive." There are things in our lives that when we see and when we receive from God that understanding of there is something that's hard that's coming into someone's life, into a nation's life, that our response, that love is engaged, it's stirred up, it begins to fill us, and our response is, "Oh Lord God, please forgive." Have you ever cried out for God's forgiveness? First of all, if I had a friend come to me and say, Ryan, guess what I was dreaming last night? Guess what I saw as I was going for a walk this morning? Guess what this picture that came into my mind as I was praying? And they shared something as bizarre and just out of the norm as what Amos is sharing here. I would probably look at them and ask them, what did you have for dinner the night before? Because my first thought is, that's really weird. I don't understand that. And sometimes there's those moments in our lives when God will send someone to us and they're speaking truth to us after they've seen it. And our first thought is, that's kind of weird. Have you ever had somebody come to you that had a word from the Lord, that had seen something, that had a vision, that had an understanding? What was the posture that you received that word? Skepticism. There can be that tearing, that, ooh, I see how this might fit in, but I'm also unsure. For me, a lot of times, if it's positive, then I'm always like, yeah, I like this vision. This is a good one. But in those moments in my life when it has been a word of warning, when it's been a word of chastisement, when it's been a word of direction, I had to step back and I had to sit with the picture that was given to me out of love. Amos was vulnerable here in this moment. He opened up and he shared what God had given him and was willing to do that regardless of the reception that he received. Prophets aren't always embraced or loved on. Sometimes they're rejected and they're fought and they're shunned. Why? Because we don't always want to hear the thus saith the Lord or receive that picture. What's beautiful about this picture that Amos receives is that he is interacting with the vision that God is giving him. He becomes a player that is a part of what he is seeing, if you will. As Toto is wandering off down the yellow brick road, you find yourself standing there on the yellow brick road next to this varied cast of individuals, the Wizard of Oz, and you have some wisdom, you have some understanding in where the story is going, and you say, psst, hey Dorothy, let me give you a clue, let me tell you what is going to happen if we go in this direction. If we miss the yellow brick road, we really need to make sure we hit it. Everything is going to change, the story is going to shift. Here Amos steps into this place with God and says, God, please forgive. Please restore. Please turn away from this destruction that's going to come upon our community. Please show mercy to us. What strikes you from this passage as you read it? What jumps out this morning? Let's read through this again. Let's read this together. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, he was forming locusts when the latter growth was just being sprout. And behold, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. When they had finished eating the grass of the land, I said, O Lord God, please forgive. How can Jacob stand? He is so small. The Lord relented concerning this. It shall not be, said the Lord. Absolutely. There was something powerful that had taken place in Amos's life where God belonged to him and he belonged to God. Something powerful had happened in Amos's life. He had heard God speak. He trusted the voice that God had spoken with. He trusted that he belonged to God and that God belonged to him. It's a very special place when someone invites you to come into their space, into their circle, and says, hey, this is what I'm doing, this is where I'm going, and they invite you to have a voice in that place as well. God invites Amos. Does God come out and say, this is what I want you to do, Amos? I want you to give me some feedback. No, but God is open in that moment to his heart for the people. Amos is open, or excuse me, God is open to Amos's heart for the children of Israel. This morning, who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you feel that sense of there's a connection, there's a belonging with this person or this group of people in this place or that place? Where is that for you this morning? Because there may be those moments when God is speaking to us at night when we're asleep or when we're walking or when we're reading our scriptures or when we're talking with somebody, or when we're singing, or when we're working out, or when we're mowing the lawn, when there is the vision that God gives to us regarding that person or that group of people that belong and that we belong to. And God is opening up this picture and inviting us, as he opens up this picture, to step into this space where we express our heart as well. There's those moments where God, throughout the scripture, says, this is the destruction that you're headed towards, and sends warning after warning after warning. What's beautiful is that God's mercy, God's endurance, God's, the word is, long-suffering, goes on and on and on. In those moments in our lives when we're deaf and when we're hard and when we're cold and we're not receiving what he would have for us or receiving that word of warning or course correction. Sometimes when I miss it, I have an Amos in my life who comes into the moment, who stands with God and talks with God and says, God, Ryan is small. How can he stand? You ever had a prayer in your life, an interceder in your life? Someone who, no matter what was going on in your life, was standing there with you and with God, saying, this God is... it's going to be really hard. Would you do something? Would you shift or would you move? When someone feels that sense of belonging towards us, it's beautiful to see how God opens up his communication, not in a way that is, I'm going to tell you the secrets about Ryan, but hey, you know what? You get to stand in a place of mercy and being that funnel for mercy to come into Ryan's life. Or insert your name here. There's those people around us that sometimes we don't even recognize. Amos had this vision of what was coming. In a moment, everyone thought, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then Amos sees the background of what's taking place and what's about to come. And he stands in that place and says, God, please, please forgive. This morning, I just want to pause because each of us have been called to be a part of God's body. And Jesus specifically addresses this in John chapter 17, verse 11 and 12. He prays, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be what? One, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them." This beautiful picture of the team, the family, the tribe, those who have gathered under the loving, watchful care of the Lord Jesus Christ, his direction, his guidance. There's this oneness that comes as we recognize that we belong to him and we belong to one another. What's beautiful is not all of us necessarily have the same giftings. Have you ever noticed that? Remember what I said about going in different directions and growing in different places? Sometimes you can be at the same place, whether it's the same church or the same family or same workplace, work environment, same community, and you're growing in a new direction. And maybe you feel like this is just a little bit different because I'm growing in a different direction than what at least I see everybody else around me growing. And yet you still have that sense of I still belong here. This is still where I'm supposed to be. What Jesus is talking about, this idea of being one, it's not conformity. We all don't conform to what one another think that everyone else needs to be. No, it's we're conforming to the image of Jesus that each of us have had placed within our lives, the image of Jesus. And that takes on a lot of different shapes, sizes, and colors, the way that each of us receive Jesus and responds, if you will, the way his light shines through us in our lives. The way that his breath, the breath of his spirit flows through, what that looks like in our lives as the ruach, the breath of God is going forth in our lives. There's a oneness, there's that safety of belonging, and yet there is that freedom to continue to grow in the picture that Jesus has dreamed and envisioned for each of us for our lives. The way Peter put it was this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "You also as what? Living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Of us a part of this building that God is making. Different sizes, different shapes, different strengths, different purposes, but we're all needed to make the house of God. What does the house of God look like this morning? What does the house of God look like this morning? I want you to think about, again, those times when someone has spoken something to us that was maybe hard to hear, hard to receive. Part of the house of God working together to see the whole house successful. It's called different gifts, different strengths, different ways that God is at work bringing about his oneness into our lives. I'd like to just take a few moments, just right in your seats where you are this morning, and just ask the Lord, is there anything you have for me to see right now that I need to cry out to you on someone else's behalf for forgiveness? for them. O Lord God, please forgive. How can Jacob stand? He is so small. Let's just take a few moments here. Is there anyone that we can cry out for forgiveness in their life? There's a difference between trying to fix someone and just simply asking God for forgiveness on their behalf. And Amos does the right thing here in this moment and just asks for forgiveness. There's a time to act, but it's as Jesus directs us. Jesus, we bring to you those people, the situations, the circumstances where we see that there is destruction, that there's brokenness, that there is a whole army of locusts coming that will strip all of the growth, all the green, all of the fruit away and leave it bare. And we just cry out for your forgiveness upon these people who are in our hearts right now, that they would know that they belong to you and that you belong to them. We thank you for your prophets of old, and we thank you for your prophets today, those who listen, those who receive, those who see, and then responds. We thank you for the heart of Amos. We ask that we would have hearts as well as we see function and brokenness and destruction around us, that our first thought would be, oh Lord God, they're small, how can they stand? Please forgive. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Let's all stand. May the God who forgives continue to be our source of strength and hope in all things, knowing that nothing can separate us from God's great love. May we be open to the visions that he has for us and to engage with him, with God, as we receive those visions and share those with those that we love and we cherish. We bless one another. In God's holy and precious name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.